Hi, I'm Amanda McNulty with Making It Grow, and this is not one of my one-minute talks. This is one that's going to be a lot more interesting to you because I've got somebody here to help me today. This is Making It Grow Extra, Dr. John Nelson of the A.C. Moore Herbarium at the University of South Carolina is with me. And John, when you ride around South Carolina, people who are not from here don't think there's anything here but pine trees sometimes. And there are a lot of pine trees.
That's what it looks like sometimes. Yeah. That's what it looks like when you look out there on the side of the interstate and you see what seems to be a dense forest. And a lot of times it's just like 500 feet of planted pines along the highway.
And a lot of people have gone to college on pine trees that their parents very kindly or their grandparents planted way back when. And it's been a source of revenue for people.
That's right.
But it really is. There, I think, a lot of pines in the state. You said how many are native to us?
There's about 10 different pines that are regularly
species.
Seen.
Yeah.
Species.
They're all the same genus.
All the same genus. And
Pinus,
the genus is Pinus.
Uh-huh.
And I think what we're going to do today is talk about three of those.
Okay. And where are these three typically found in our
state?
Well,
I think since this is just maybe the first of more than one installment of
on pine
trees, we'll stick to the coastal plain and just talk about three that characterized the coastal plain largely.
And before we get started, pines are part of a larger group called conifers? Or gymnosperms?
Conifers are just—that's a good name for plants that produce cones in the sense of a pine tree or a fir tree or a spruce tree. That is a cone that doesn't have anything to do with flowers. You see that pine trees and other conifers don't make flowers.
They sure make pollen.
That's right. They do make pollen, but there's no—technically, there's no flower involved. And so that's why we call the we separate these groups of plants into the flowering plants and the gymnosperms. So we have the angiosperms, which are the flowering plants, and we have the gymnosperms. And of course, gymnosperm means naked seed, and the seeds that are a conifer or a gymnosperm produces are not wrapped up in the tissues that you'd find.
On an apple or peach, of a flowering plant. Okay, and that's an older group of plants in the evolution of
plants.
Right,
the conifers are much older than the flowering plants, and they occur way earlier in the fossil record.
Well, let's talk about the ones that we not fossilized, but the ones that we can see right now rotting around the roads of South Carolina.
That's right. Okay, so sticking with the coastal plain, the three that I thought would be kind of fun to talk about. Maybe the most important pine for the history of South Carolina and the Southeast, I would think, is longleaf pine.
Oh, boy.
And that's Pinus palustris. And, of course, this is just the most wonderful, wonderful tree. Used to be in the Southeast from, I would think, eastern Virginia all the way to Texas. Tens of millions of acres of virgin pine forest.
Not planted by man.
Not planted by people at all, but just evolving in place. And unfortunately, there's very, very little of those virgin stands left anywhere in the Southeast. And of course, it's because longleaf pine ended up being so useful for Southerners and primarily for the naval stores that you hear about, in fact, that the British Navy really needed way back in the colonial era.
Not everybody knows what that is, so would you explain that, please?
Right. So naval stores is a sort of a funny term that just refers—
It doesn't mean a store where you go and
it's not like a—
Anchors and hats and things.
No, naval stores would be the products used in keeping ships and their tackle and sails and ropes in good shape.
In good condition.
For instance, pitch and tar that could be also derived from the sap of these pine trees. So it was a sort of an elaborate process of getting the sap out of the tree and into a barrel where it could be further worked into something useful for the British Navy. And subsequently, the American Haiti, for that matter.
And so whereas up north people might have tapped maple trees for sugar, down here I've even seen in older neighborhoods in Wilmington, North Carolina, kind of a remnants of slash marks like a V.
And they call that a cat face.
Uh-huh, in some of these pine trees.
And that's right. And the tree would be tapped or cut with chevrons more than once, you know, to freshen up the wound so that the sap would keep dripping out. And historically, it would be collected in a pottery vessel down at the bottom of
pottery?
The tree.
Pottery? Really? And, my gracious.
Every now and then, it was very rare now that you can even find an intact cat face on an old longleaf because they're all dying, especially if they were, like, tapped into that way. Having the sap removed from a longleaf pine is not any good for the tree, so it actually was sometimes led to their fairly rapid demise.
So like when we used to bleed people, and yeah. It would just, instead of helping them get better, it just sent them on their way even faster.
But longleaf, it's one of the most stately trees that you could ever see.
Oh, they are so beautiful.
And they're easily characterized, for one thing, by the cone, which is the largest cone of any pine in the Southeast. And if you are lucky enough to have a longleaf in your yard, go out and pick up a set of needles from it from down on the ground, and there will always be three. They're also the longest needles of any pine that we have.
Is each one of those a leaf, or are all three together a leaf?
Each one of those is a leaf.
Is it?
So it's a needle-like leaf, mm-hmm. and they're bundled together by that little papery sheath
sure.
down at the bottom.
And called?
And the whole thing is called a fascicle.
Fascicle. So, and different pines have different numbers
that's
of
right.
leaves or yeah. needles in that fascicle.
That's right.
So that's one of the identification features. But with a long leaf, the way they come out and the way they drape is just so graceful. It's kind of hard not to be able to distinguish, to identify them. They're just so beautiful. And then when they're young, they are so distinctive. They everything seems all up in the air and wrapped tight.
Right. The way I tell my kids, I say, when you look at the end of the branch of that longleaf, you'll see that the needles come out in sort of a globe. Sort of
yes,
a,
they do.
A spherical effect. Mm-hmm. And the other pines really don't do that.
Well, how about when they're young, they have that unusual. Sometimes they just look like they're little tufts of grass,
mm-hmm.
And then
right.
they.
So the way that a longleaf reproduces is in itself just fascinating. The seeds require mineral soil, or basically sand, on which to germinate. They can't germinate if there's a lot of stuff between them and the soil.
So they don't want to land on this wonderful organic layer.
No. And this is the reason that periodic fires were so important to their reproduction.
Because it would burn up all that stuff.
Right. And so once fire is excluded from the environment, it's no longer really suitable for profitable reproduction by the trees.
So this seed lands on kind of an infertile soil, and seems like that's kind of a hard way to grow. I get shoot up in the air real fast.
They send
guess.
Down a taproot, uh-huh. Which grows for actually several years, with only a little fluff of leaves above.
My goodness!
And this is what's called the grass mm-hmm. stage, because it looks like a clump of grass.
Yeah, yeah.
And after that taproot is down there far enough, the plant is going to be able to put some effort into growing upward, and we got to remember about this fire business. This is a little bit complicating because if fire does take place when there is a young seedling, it's in danger of being burned up. Fortunately, that
yeah, because you've got a growing point and you
right,
can't hurt
the bud,
it.
A very yeah. prominent bud at the tip of the stem. If that gets burned up, the plant is dead.
Now, sometimes when you see them, they look kind of like those saguaro cactus or whatever. I mean, they're yeah, kind of funny right. looking when they're young.
Yeah.
And
right.
as all those, the needles seem to be kind of wrapped up around
and as
the
that,
tip.
That wrapping, which protects the bud from
uh-huh.
the fire, other
oh.
pines don't do that.
Oh, so other pines don't want to, can't go through fire like our longleaf.
So they're much more susceptible uh-huh. to being burned up.
Ah, uh-huh. okay.
Well, let's talk about another couple of pines.
Okay.
I want to talk about one that's called slash pine.
All righty.
Slash pine's a funny name. It's a native pine. The scientific name is Pinus elliottii, and it was named after a botanist who was actually involved at a South Carolina college in the 1800s.
Cool.
Stephen Elliott. Anyway, this is a pine that evolved and grows naturally from about Charleston County down into Florida. In fact, if you drive down I-95, you'll see thousands of slash pines all along that interstate. We only have it, though, in this one area of our coastal plain. Now, the thing about slash pine is that it does look a little bit like longleaf, but it will have two needles or three needles.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And the needles aren't nearly as long.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not enough to tell these apart, the cone is smaller, and it always seems to be reddish brown.
I thought
even
so, too.
Orange brown, yeah. Orangish brown.
I think of them as having a pretty color. I mean, I like to collect them because they're pretty. They're pretty, yeah.
And they're also good for making turkeys at Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know?
So let me just tell you real quickly about the third pine,
uh-huh.
And that's loblolly, and this is probably the most
common. Oh, that's the one everybody grows, yeah.
The most common plant in
sure.
South Carolina, and it's a little bit small. The cone is smaller than any of the other two that I've mentioned, plus it has shorter needles, and it can also be a pretty stately tree. And it grows by millions and millions of individuals across
the coast. It's not as picky about the soil it needs to reproduce
in. It can grow in a variety of different habitat types.
So I hear sometimes people say that in a stand of longleafs, the loblolly would be considered kind of a weed because they kind of seed down. And sometimes if people are growing longleafs, they want a pure stand. Okay. Well, thanks, John. Gosh. Pine trees, who would have thought they were so interesting?
Who would have thought?